The crux of the objection to Obamacare seems to be little more than sour grapes. These congressional Republicans can't stand that Obama achieved even one political victory of note, other than being elected. They are clearly self-professed enemies of the state, believing, as conservative activist Grover Norquist put it, quote, "I don't want to abolish government. I simply want to reduce it to the size where I can drag it into the bathroom and drown it in the bathtub." Yet these same politicians hold as sacred cows certain massive government programs. Subsidies for giant toxic agribusiness through the Farm Bill, occupying and bombing much of the world in a perpetual state of war. And the focus of this week's News You Need to Know, eliminating the privacy and civil rights of all Americans through massive government surveillance. Let's start with this story from the New York Times on September 28th. The NSA spy agency began allowing the analysis of phone call and email logs in November 2010 to examine Americans' networks of associations after NSA officials lifted restrictions.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
Oh, race is deep. All my Puerto Rican friends. I'm Spanish. Oh, a tall Mexican. No, I mean, I'm Spanish. I thought that was a language. What am I speaking? Couldn't I talk crazy? I'm English. Really, I am. I speak it. I rest my case. Everybody gets it twisted. If you take an African zebra to Canada, it does not make it a Canadian zebra. It makes it an African zebra living in Canada. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Salsa is an African love dance. It's not up for discussion. It's what the fuck it is. Keep it real. Keep it fucking real. Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Cubans ain't nothing but black folks that can swim.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land!
Indian land!
Indian land!
Indian land!
Indian land!
You guys have no jurisdiction here.
Indian land!
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what Indian case? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. White man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart aboriginals.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Listen to me carefully. No, you don't. Kiss my Obama, as I said. I don't give a damn what you do. I know what I'm going to do, and I know what people with an I and a Q are going to do. The left, which is godless and serves Satan, has an agenda. To accomplish their agenda, they have to get idiots, morons, numbnuts, to do stupid things so the focus will be on them and not on the left. And not on the left. Jews, homosexuals, blacks, gays, Islamists. You may think they're disparate groups. They're not. They're all tools. Because while we're mad at these two punks, we're mad at Trayvon Martin, that thug that deserves to be dead, and I'm glad he's dead. Pieces of crap, homosexual like that. What's that one guy's name? Savvy. That faggot. That horrible, awful, terrible excuse for a human being. Who's at the White House promoting attacks on Christians? I hope he dies. He probably will. Of every disease, no. By the way, I'm sending him a fire hydrant for his birthday. I'm hoping he'll sit on it. He'll slide all the way down to the ground. Sorry, fire hydrant fans. Don't mean to insult fire hydrants. At any rate, do you understand what I'm saying here? These groups are being recruited. Environmentalists, nuclear freeze. It doesn't make any difference what group it is. If you put anything ahead of doing what's right in God's eyes, or better yet, ignoring the reality of God, then you're a tool. You're a useful idiot.
Internet radio for smart aboriginals.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the fourth world from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Salutan and peace to all original human beings resident on physical plane. I'm your host, the Angry Indian. Editor-in-Chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the fourth world from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and our original home, ang-newswire.blogspot.com. Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous News, thought, and analyses concerning the issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, neoclassist, neocolonialist, neoliberal, neo-fascist, and neo-misogynist control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along. I wish peace to the gods and earths and love and solidarity to the entire original family at this time of strife and struggle. I'm your host, Angry Indian, and I'm here, as always, with our executive producer and engineer, Guadalupe Morales. And, the subject today, we're just going to hop right into it because I don't see any real reason to delay. you know, especially since I really have not dealt with this subject. And I'm going to be straight up with you. You know, I've said this before, I'll say it again. You know, you're talking to somebody who spent, you know, the majority of his conscious time as an Uncle Tom. Now, I didn't start out that way. You see, I didn't start out that way. You see, I was asked to be what you now call, I suppose, you know, an angry young black man, because I didn't understand while I was in school. They were telling us that the United States was founded on justice and equality and the brotherhood of all men and, you know, democracy, you know, all of that, all of that. You've heard it. I've heard it. And back in my day, you had to put your hand over your heart. And you, I mean, they used to file us into, you know, to the auditorium every morning. And that same white man with his off-the-rack suit with the glasses, he would get up there and he would make us go through this Pledge of Allegiance. We had to do this every morning. And then as I rose up in the grades, you know, we had to do it at the start of every class day. Now, I know for those of you who are still thinking about Leave It to Beaver and what have you, you know, you don't see anything wrong with that. Well, I suppose it wouldn't be anything wrong with it. You know, I don't necessarily have a particular problem with a, you know, conscious nationalism. Now, I know for a lot of you who are used to the term nationalism, you know, in and of itself, it's negative. So let me clarify. When I say a conscious nationalism, I'm talking about, you know, you're conscious of who you are and who your people are. And of course, that means you have land that goes along with that, right? I mean, that's the way that's supposed to go, right? A nation has territory. You know, I mean, that is the understanding between nations, that all nations, if they exist, right, are only recognized by the other nations if they have territory. Is that not the argument that Israel makes every fucking day? They make that argument every day as they do what they do in terms of removing and ignoring and stomping on the human rights of the indigenous Palestinian people who are native to that area. Maybe you didn't see it today. There's an article. Now, you think maybe this has nothing to do with what I'm really going to get into, but it does. There's an article today. Well, two, it turns out, because I was on Twitter early with David Sheen. And if you're not following David Sheen, at David Sheen on Twitter, DavidSheen.com for that matter, you're really not understanding. I know a lot of people know about Max Blumenthal, and you should follow him too. But I'm just saying, David Sheen, I deal with David Sheen. And, you know, you want to find out what's happening in Israel in terms of what's happening to the African population in Israel. You really need to check him out. And we were both talking about this earlier, that the new genetic studies. Now, this was on LiveScience.com, not a neo-Nazi site. Not one of these, one of these crazy ass libertarian sites that, you know, where you can get a copy of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, right? Right? Or this is not some black supremacist site that agrees with all of that nonsense that the white racists push. See, we're going to get into, you know, a few things here because, you know, I'm just seeing so much and I'm hearing so much and it's all wrongheaded. It is so goddamn wrongheaded because people are so fucking ignorant and they're so lazy that they don't want to make any effort to find out what the fuck it is that they're actually out here arguing about. And they want to get into loud shouting matches with people and do not know what the hell they're talking about, especially when it comes to racism and especially when it comes to our supposed white allies. That is the subject, brothers and sisters. The problem, not the question, but the problem of white allies. I'm down to work with anybody, you know. And of course, you're criticized if you're mixed. you know, which I normally would not make a deal of. But I really feel, and I've been talking about this with you know, Guadalupe, because it's like, how far do I go with this? Because, you know, it gets to the point where I'm already, you know, people are like, well, you know, it's kind of confusing what you're talking about, you know, because you thought a lot of information. Well, I mean, come on, man. You know, the world is goddamn complicated. I mean, what the fuck do you think? But see, this is the point, though. It's really not that motherfucking complicated. It's just so many of you are just so fucking intellectually lazy, and you're so emotionally still beholden upon the fucking status quo. You know, you don't see yourself as being poor. You see yourself as being temporarily fucking separated from the $1 million, you know, bounty, that $1 million pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You don't realize that you're not supposed to get out of your goddamn situation. You don't realize that. You won't accept that. Or you're to the point where you accept the idea of rich people and you believe that the God that supposedly everyone is supposed to believe in mandates this, that some people are simply supposed to have it, the divine right of kings, that's it. And you never question any fucking thing else, right? So let's go back to the chosen people for a second. Because this is not a religious issue, and it's really not an issue of hatred towards Jews. If you really break it down objectively, you realize that this is an issue of white supremacy. This is an issue of white colonialism in that part of Western Asia. And nobody wants to say that. Because if you look at it that way, you actually have to go to the facts. Right? And what are the facts? The facts are that the majority of people, and this is what I'm talking about when I brought up the article I was discussing with David Sheen earlier. Now, just to, for clarity's sake, if you don't, you haven't figured it out already, David Sheen is an Israeli. And he's a conscious Israeli. He realizes what's going on. He realizes that the racism and that the colonialism is wrong. But he's also Jewish, and he feels that there is a tie culturally, what have you, to the country, all right? Now, when we were discussing this, I wasn't trying to demean him or even myself, because the tiny bit that I can claim to Judaism, right? I used to say a Semitic background, but as I said to him, I guess my Semitic background isn't all that Semitic after all. It turns out that my Jewish ancestor may simply just be a white guy out of Europe, because that's what the DNA studies are showing. Not the DNA study that was pushed earlier, because as I said to him online, that I thought that the genetic question was answered already. And it turns out that, well, evidently it wasn't. It wasn't answered. It's just evidently, you know, one particular angle of that study, of the initial work that was done in this, was put out to slant it that all of the Ashkenazim, you know, have a direct genetic tie. Now, this is what I'm talking about, have a direct genetic tie to the area we know as Palestine. Meaning that the claim that they're making, that they're retaking land that actually belonged to them, is legitimate because there's a genetic trail, right? Well, it turns out that there is, at least not with the Ashkenazim, and now with Sephardi, Mizrahi, with Arab Jews, for goddamn sure, you know, there's a direct motherfucking genetic tie. But when it comes to the Ashkenazim, zilch. Now, if you're into the whole Alex Jones bullshit, or, you know, any of that libertarian nonsense, right? Rand Paul, Ron Paul, all of that, you know, neo-Nazi nonsense that doesn't want to come right out and fucking say that it's neo-Nazi because it's too cowardly to come out and say that it's really fucking neo-Nazi. You know, they figure that they're doing an American-style version of fascism, like the type of nonsense that they were trying to push that Smedley Butler had exposed during the business plot. That, you know, so they rather call themselves corporatists rather than fascists or neo-Nazis, right? Even though they push the same goddamn xenophobia. I mean, Ron Paul just spoke at a goddamn far-right conference. Just this past month, right, Lupe? Yeah, they had some kind of beef with the Vatican. Some nonsense. Some far-right nonsense. And this is no big deal. He's been taking money from Don Black, right? Right? He's been taking money from Don Black. And what's his other, Bill White? So you got Don Black and Bill White. You know, he has associations with both. You have neo-Nazis that go online, if you bother to look at that crap holder, who say, yeah, you know, he's had meetings with us. We know that he sympathizes with us. But in order for him to stay within the mainstream of the political movement, he cannot acknowledge us. They recognize him as one of theirs. So, you know, it's like, who are we fooling here? And when we come to what's going on in Israel, who is being fooled with this? The majority of the people who claim to be Zionists. And you know, and I don't particularly have a particular issue with Zionism in and of itself, because I know a lot of you don't think about this in this way. But Noam, or Professor Noam Chomsky, for example, is a Zionist. He and his wife did aliyah, right? They lived in kibbutzes. They worked the land. They did all of that nonsense. But they left it. They walked away from it when they realized what the fuck was really going on. When they became conscious of the violence and what have you, they realized what the hell was really going on. There was no deal that was made. And anyone who's ever read The Iron Wall by Zev Yabotinsky knows full well. He made it very clear. And this is where the indigenous perspective comes in. Because he mentioned Native Americans in this. He said, hey, the Aztecs fought against the Spanish to protect their land because, well, the Spanish were taking their land. He said that the Lakota, the red man of North America, he fought to protect his land when the European came in because the European was taking his land. This is natural. This is what Zev Yabotinsky said. This is the father of revisionist Zionism. This is what he said. Do not believe me. Look it up. The Iron Wall. The Iron Wall. Written by Zev Yabotinsky. Right, he was, I don't know if he was a Russian Jew, or he was born within an area that was under Tsarist control, you know, what have you. You know, he was from that particular area, and he made it clear that if we're going to go into Palestine, if we're going to found, you know, Etzatz Israel, if we're going to do this, then we're going to have to wipe out all of the Palestinians, because they're going to continue to fight us. They are not simply going to sell us their land. He said some of them will sell us their land because they're sellouts. Read the text yourself. Don't believe me. He said some of them will sell out because they're sellouts. But he said don't expect the majority of them to want to do this. This is their land. They want to be masters of their own land. This is their home. Anybody is going to fight for their home. But the argument that he was making was is that we as Jews do not have a home. We're not wanted in Russia. We're not wanted in Poland, or what was left of what was Poland at that time under the Tsar, right? Because, you know, Russia used to extend itself to Anme all the way to Germany, you know, over Poland. And this is why at Yalta, Stalin, you know, made the argument that, well, hey, we demand a government that is pro-Soviet for the simple fact that we need this buffer. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. But, you know, it would help to have that kind of a background to discuss this. Because, you know, I really hate getting into debates with people who don't know what the fuck they're talking about, but they want to yell, they want to shout, and they want to demand that you listen to them, but they can't even articulate their fucking arguments. I'm talking about our friends who consider themselves to be white allies. You see, because the people who are conservative, who are against us, they can't explain this shit to begin with because they're a bunch of fucking idiots. They have no fucking argument. They're coming from fear and from a sense of central position and from a sense of fucking unearned goddamn entitlement. I'm white, so I'm automatically supposed to fucking be in charge because the history of this shit has been that we've stepped on people and we've taken your shit and we've made you, we forced you to thank us for it, and that's just the way it's goddamn supposed to go. Alright? So, you know, we don't want to admit this. And when I say we, I'm talking about those of us who work with white allies. We do not challenge our white allies on this. Right? One of the main reasons this is coming up, or all of this is coming up, is because, you know, a lot of people have been jumping on Tim Wise lately. I don't know how fair that is to necessarily just go after Tim Wise. I mean, there's a whole lot of hypocrisy out here. You know, and I guess it's really easy right now to snap on Miley Cyrus, too. Even though she's making more of an idiot of herself as the weeks go by with this, but she's also making things very profitable though for people who are invested in her. $70 million. The last time I looked was asked to be made off of this whole twerking nonsense that she did with Robin Thicke at this goddamn award show. That minstrel show earned $70 million alone at the time I read that, simply because of the controversy about it. and it was a minstrel show. It was two white people pretending to be black, being surrounded by a bunch of black simpletons who were being paid for the privilege, I suppose, to authenticate the goddamn racism that was happening on that stage. And I believe it was what, Lupe, the MTV fucking award. So, you know, it's like, that's where that shit is at. And like I said, it was Don Letts. Yeah, it was Don Letts who used to manage the Clash. They didn't even want him in the fucking building. They tried to remove him from the fucking building when he came from the UK to represent the fucking Clash at MTV. Because they didn't want niggas on that goddamn network. Alright? They didn't want niggas on that network. And they didn't want him to have anything to do with them. They told him the service elevator was to the left and down the hall. They didn't want him in there. When he tried to put up an argument saying, I'm here to represent the Clash, they had him fucking removed from the building until they realized who the hell he was. So it's like, no. The racism was then, the racism is now. Just because, you know, a few, you know, black people are making some money doesn't mean a goddamn thing. Russell Simmons made money from hip-hop, and what has Russell Simmons done? He puts out a fucking Harriet Tubman sex tape. Can you imagine the Jewish community putting out something like that about Golda Meir? Somebody motherfucking talk to me. Because, you know, I really get tired of a lot of you motherfuckers, especially those of you who want to defend the white allies, who are sitting there talking bullshit. Okay? But, you know, you want to riff me and my brothers, who and my sisters, you know, especially the sisters, you know, who tell them that they're out of line for telling you that you're goddamn out of line. For defending somebody who's already out of line to fucking begin with. You know, first off, if you're going to be a motherfucking ally, a white ally, or even for that matter, you know, well, any goddamn ally, for any motherfucking thing. I mean, if you're not really down with my fucking movement, why the fuck should I be down for yours? If you're not really down for the, you know, and really acknowledging the injustice that I'm dealing with, then, you know, why should I give a fuck about the hell is happening to you? And I include that for, you know, our brothers and sisters in the goddamn gay community. But I'm being specific right now about the fucking white gay community. Because when you really talk about the gay community, just like every fucking thing else that goes on around the goddamn bubble, it's white. So everything comes from a fucking white perspective. All the arguments are fucking white. Feminism. Come on, man. The entire fucking arguments around feminism are fucking white. You know, I mean, we had the editorial from our UK sister, Celine K, you know, talking about feminine. But see, you got to understand something about feminine. And I really started to look at this at one point, you know, I was very supportive of feminine. But then I had this, you know, really look at it. The same thing I say about communism. You know, communism, you know, in many ways, when you really fucking look at it and you're objective about it, it works for Europeans. It was a European, you know, solution or European analysis for a European labor issue. That it didn't really have anything to do with indigenous people who were not in factories. You understand where I'm coming from? You know, who were not dealing with kings and what have you. You know, who had a leadership that actually had to, you know, sway people through oratory and through logic as opposed to simply talking about birthright. Now, I'm not saying it was, you know, the idea of birthright didn't happen in the indigenous world. Of course it did. But it wasn't, you know, the norm. You know, it wasn't a, you know, an idea on the general like that. There were, you know, incidences of that. But Europeans, that's exactly how they've done things. They judge everything in terms of power, in terms of military power, basically. You know, even in terms of the church. When you talk about the church, you're talking about military as well. I mean, when you look at the Catholic Church, the Crusades, what the hell was that? These were military orders that were going up there through what the Pope was saying. Hey, yeah, you can do this. Yeah, you know, start from Cologne and move your way up. You know, doing as many Jews and as many Romani people as you want to on your way to the Holy Land. And when you get to the Holy Land, lay waste to everybody. And they did. They lay waste to just as many Jews as they did the Muslims. They lay waste to the Semites that were in the area, period. And yes, there were some Africans involved in that as well. The history of Ethiopia is one of Christian history. Yeah, I know it's confusing to a lot of people because everybody's black, but you're talking about Christian history when you talk about Ethiopia. When you talk about the East of Africa in general, you're talking about the Semitic history that, you know, that is in the Bible that everybody's fighting over. But Europeans have completely removed Africans You know, there's no African. What's the name? Khadija, right? How many Africans can we list in the Bible? You know, if you want to believe this, in the Old Testament, for that matter, in the goddamn New Testament, you know. And if you really look at the Bible objectively, if you want to look at it as a history book, if you really want to go that goddamn far, how come you never talk about the Romans who came over from Italy and invaded Palestine? Why are modern Israelis blaming today's Palestinians for their removal in 70 AD? Somebody talk to me. I'm talking about white allies who make these arguments that Israel must exist. Israel has a God-given right to exist. What nation has a God-given right to exist? What kind of nonsense is this? But see, it's the mentality that I'm trying to get to. Not the arguments per se. It's the mentality behind what makes the arguments come out in the first goddamn place. This idea that I'm white and I deserve to be in a commanding position in your liberation movement. I am white. I demand to make a decision on whether or not I want to occupy your land or not. I am white. I will make a decision on whether or not I occupy your identity or not. How many white people who feel that they've been validated by some kiss-ass Indian someplace, right, who's got a pipe that he bought out of a store, that was made in Japan some goddamn where, right, and they feel validated because this old Indian man who's got nothing else going on for him other than these young white people who come and help him pay his bills, and help him keep his house up, right? And help him with the stuff that he needs to get done. You know, and he's grateful. And, you know, you just get to a certain age and a certain point in your life, you just don't want to argue with motherfuckers no goddamn more. And some of us are simple, like I said to begin with, just kiss asses. You know, I mean, there's a jerk around the region where I am. Well, there's three, actually, who call themselves chief, whatever the hell. They're not chiefs of any motherfucking thing. Nobody recognizes them. Nobody even knows if they're fucking native. But they run sweats, right? They have medicine circles and prayer circles and healing circles and what have you. And you know, the people in these areas take them seriously. And some of them make a lot of money. And some of them, I don't know what the fuck they get out of it. But then when they want to justify something like the name for a team, like the Redskins or some shit, they point out of all the natives that are saying, no, this is offensive. No, we do not like this. No, it's in the goddamn dictionary that says it's fucking offensive in the goddamn English language. What do? They turn around and look for that one goddamn son of a bitch who will say, oh, I don't have any problem with it. And then that becomes the litmus test for every motherfucking buddy. You know, it's the same fucking thing. All the fuck the way around. You know, it's always the same goddamn argument. You know, somehow that what belongs to us somehow belongs to them. You know, so when it comes to the idea of, white allies, you know, we really need to fucking start asking questions. You know, what the hell does that mean? And if they're really allied with us, you know, how are they allied with us? Are they allied with us on their motherfucking terms? On our terms, right? Or on terms that, you know, which I could halfway hope would be fucking objective. In which term, they would have to realize that they have to give up some of their fucking privilege. Matter of fact, they'd have to give up all of their fucking privilege. All of their goddamn social power. All of their political power. All of their motherfucking economic power. And when it really comes down to it, the average motherfucking white man in the street isn't willing to give up a goddamn thing. This is why he will let Troy Davis go to his execution with no complaint, no argument. Right, he might talk about how bad it is, but he gets up the next day and goes to work like nothing fucking happened. See, and he'll look at black people and like, you know, why are you blaming me for what happened? Well, hey, you had the power to stop that shit, and you didn't. But when something happens to Israel, though, I'm supposed to fucking jump up and help you. When you get into some shit over some nonsense that you started overseas, I'm supposed to back you up on this, even though I have done nothing to these people and they have no particular argument with me. But I'm supposed to back you up. See, this is white privilege. You're supposed to be first. You're supposed to make all the fucking decisions, and you're supposed to decide which way the fucking world turns. but at the same time, you want to be my ally, right? You want to call yourself my ally. No, you're not calling yourself my ally. You actually are sticking yourself into these situations because probably, more than likely, nobody gave a fuck about you in the white world because you're fucking, you know, different, right? You're probably fucking different. So, you know, you can't get any goddamn validation from the power system. So you come to the fucking people who are being stomped on, right, to get some kind of validation so that your life has some fucking meaning, because it has no meaning where the fuck you come from. And then you can't give up your whiteness in this motherfucking arena, so then you turn around and impose that you will then define not only who the fuck you are, but who the fuck we are and what we should be worried about and what is offensive to us and where we should be put our interests. But nobody can tell you, white man, what the fuck to do. But you'll tell me what the fuck to do. You'll tell my brother what the fuck to do. You'll tell my sister what the fuck to do. You'll tell an entire country, an entire group of people, an entire community, an entire nation what the fuck to do. But you will not be told what to do. You will not be told that you're out of line. You will not be told of your history. You will not be told of your prejudice. You will not be told of your self-centeredness. You will not accept anything about yourself. But you push the Bible and then not even read your own book that says, how can you criticize the log in your brother's eye and not look at the log in your own eye? How can you not look at yourself? How can you not criticize yourself? You know, but as Jean Paul Sartre has made it very clear, in order for man to, you know, be honest, he has to criticize himself. And then at the same time, be willing to deal with the issue of self-conviction. You know, because as a white person, you know, for the most part, you know you have all the goddamn power. You know you do. You know you do. And when you don't get your way, you stomp around like a spoiled fucking brat until you get your fucking way. And you'll, you know, go around and look for help in any fucking way and find some kiss ass to come around who thinks that they're going to get something by helping you. And all you do is use them and abuse them. And when you're done with them, you disuse them. This is your history written by you. I'm not making up anything. This is your history, right, man? So don't call yourself my ally if you're not actually going to be, you know, in my struggle. If you're not going to accept what your people have done, then, you know, you can say whatever the hell you want. But your actions, they don't resonate with your lyrics. So, you know, for all of you black folks that are hurt, you know, when you've, you know, found out that your white friend really wasn't your friend, hey. You know, this is the reality of the situation. They were never really our friends to begin with. You know, which is not to say that every white person is, you know, your enemy. But it is to say that you really need to check and ask yourself, you know, is this person really on your side? Or are they on their own side when it really comes down to it? You know, when a racial situation comes down, can you count on this individual? Can you count on this individual to, you know, to go down with you? And I'm not talking about, you know, necessarily just take the punishment for punishment's sake. I'm saying to actually speak up and say, hey, you know, this is wrong, this is out of line, or what have you. If that person's not going to do that, and if they're going to belittle and minimize, you know, what it is you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, then obviously, you know, because I've been in this position and I know you've been in this position where you just, okay, if I say this, if I say that, if I criticize them this way, criticize them that way, I lose their support and I need white support in order to be able to deal with my problem. Well, see, that already shows you what? That, you know, if you have to think like that around this individual or in this situation, this particular group, this organization, whatever it is that you're dealing with, they're not really your allies. They're not really your allies. They never were your ally. Now, yeah, you know, we're probably going to lose a whole lot of, you know, of people around us. But, you know, the thing about it is until we start to identify who the hell our friends are and who our friends are not, we're going to continue to go in circles. We're going to continue to go in circles by other, you know, ethnic groups who are equally as oppressed in their particular regions, in their particular sphere. You know, if we do not start to address our issues and stop waiting for the Oprah Winfreys and the Barack Obamas to save us, you know, it's not going to happen. These celebrities are not going to come and save you. You have to get up off your ass and do this yourself. And it starts with freeing your mind and stop feeling that you owe white people something. You don't owe white people a fucking thing. That's what a lot of this is. We don't owe them a fucking thing. But see, they walk about with the idea that we owe them. No. Just the opposite. They couldn't have gotten this goddamn country by wiping out the Indians, right? They couldn't have paid for the country if they didn't enslave the black man. So it's like, no, we owe the white fucker in the world absolutely goddamn nothing. You know, that bullshit about the debt from, you know, going from us to them is nonsense. See, that's the slave mentality, my brothers and sisters, and you have to move beyond that. You owe this white man nothing. Absolutely nothing. And he owes you more than an apology. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Not only for Indians, but he was also for blacks and other minorities. And they have done a lot on the problems in Palestine and also the problems of blacks. And so I recommend that you listen to him.
Lotte Thomasen dit. Lotte Schwed dit. Ken Kel Schwed. En Kolsen dit geldt in Holland.
Our land is not for sale or to give to anybody.
Helaat ik samen kolen dit ge is geil ge kocht te ge in zitten. Ik samen nee kostend aan schot.
When the Creator gave us this land to live on, there was no white man on this island, for he was across the ocean. That's where his papers are. Not here, not here in this land. For his laws are written down in paper. For he never said that the paper will be your law. Never, as long as we live.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
I'm gonna stand until I can't stand no more if I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of color organize features intersections of race, politics, politics, feminism, movements, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganized.com. Follow us on Twitter at POC Organized and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganized. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
तपाईलाई थाहा छ नेपालमा पहिलो पटक कहिले एचआईभी संक्रमित व्यक्ति फेला परेको थियो
थाहा छ सन् 1988 मा
यतिका वर्ष बितिसक्दा एचआईभी एड्स को क्षेत्रमा के भए सकारात्मक परिवर्तनहरू कति आए कसले के गरे
के हामीले आफ्नो जिम्मेवारी बहन गर्यौं तपाईले गर्नुभयो
जवाफ आफैसँग खोजौं जिम्मेवारी बहन गरौं
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास
Hi, I'm Buffy St. Marie. We have overcome many obstacles in our history as Aboriginal people. We've survived. Today, we must work together, become leaders in the fight to stop the spread of HIV/AIDS in our communities. We have to think about the 7 generations ahead of us. It's a matter of survival.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Traditionally, healthcare and cleaning reproductive health was women's business and respected as such. Reclaim your healthcare choices by keeping yourself informed and sharing information with your relatives. Inform yourself about Plan B, known as the morning after pill. Plan B will protect you from becoming pregnant after a sexual assault or unprotected sex if taken within 72 hours. Make sure your local Indian Health Service facility carries Plan B. It does not require a prescription and should be provided upon request. It's your right. For more information, call your local healthcare facility. This message is brought to you by Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
This is Kristen Hirsch from Throwing Muses, and you're listening to a podcast released under a Creative Commons license.
Let's hear from St. Paul's, North Carolina. Bill's a Republican caller.
Yeah, I'd like to make a little respectful criticism here about C-SPAN. The last two guys I know were white guys, but you have black folks calling in on the Republican line, independents, and you have so many of them, I can't believe this is just an accident. If you keep on with the way you've been programming, you should change your name from C-SPAN to Blackspan. I mean, I know they have an opinion, but I wish that they would be honest and call in on the right line. Every one of them thinks that Obama is Jesus Christ, and they don't like when anybody criticizes him. Well, I didn't hear all this anger when George Bush was in. I mean, all they did was criticize George Bush every day. You'd hear, he lied, all this stuff. And I don't know how so many of these folks, if they're 10% or 12% of the population, seems to be 80% of your callers. Now, I don't know what you can do about it, but I'm just about ready, and I think a lot of other Republicans and conservatives are just about ready just to go somewhere else.
Well, Bill, I understand your frustration. We open up our phone lines with categories Republican, Democrat, and independent or other, and hope that folks call in with the on the line that best reflects their political view. It is tough sometimes to discern that. We appreciate your input.
July 5th, 1910. A word to the black man. Do not point your nose too high. Do not swell your chest too much. Do not boast too loudly. Do not be puffed up. Let not your ambition be inordinate or take a wrong direction. Remember, you have done nothing at all. You are just the same member of society you were last week. You are on no higher plane, deserve no new consideration, and will get none. No man will think a bit higher of you, because your complexion is the same as that of the victor at Reno. Los Angeles Times.
This is Malachi Daniels, talking to you from New York City. You're listening to Aboriginal News, Angry Indian Radio, a place where you can come to hear what's really critical and discussed about African people, about indigenous people, what is going on globally, where you can come and get real information. This is not CNN. This is not even RT or STV. This is Aboriginal News. Come and get it.
America for white, Africa for black. Send those apes back to the tree, shift those niggers back. Ring that bell, shout for joy, white man's day is here. No more niggers, civil rights led by niggers queer. America for white, Africa for black. Send those apes back to the tree, shift those niggers back. Shift those niggers back. Shift those niggers back. Shift those niggers back.
A unique gathering to demystify human violence in all its forms, the social systems from which it emanates, and to explore new forms of action.
Violence is, and will always be, necessary to tear away the shreds of myth and absurdity that we've been encased in since we were born.
A unique gathering to demystify human violence in all its forms, the social systems from which it emanates, and to explore new forms of action.
Violence is, and will always be, necessary to tear away the shreds of myth and absurdity that we've been encased in since we were born.
What are you doing? You haven't done a goddamn thing to stop white violence, have you? Have you? Have you?
Don't escalate the hostility. Don't escalate the anger. Control your mind. Watch what you're doing. Be aware. Totally.
The Congress went on for 2 weeks. As speakers, it gathered together spokesmen representing various mainstreams of violence and change in our society.
The peculiar character of modern domination is the following, and this applies both in Harlem and in underdeveloped countries, and it applies both with regard to all of the big powers, is that they want these people to shut up. See, these people don't belong in this lovely, high technological, interesting system. They are unnecessary. We don't need them, really. We don't need their labor. Finally, we don't need their raw materials. But unfortunately, they are people who, when they starve, get rambunctious. See, and why don't they shut up? See, why do they exist? It is a capitalist society with a high concentration of economic and political power, with an enlarging sector of automation and coordination of production, distribution, and communication, with private ownership in the means of production, which, however, depends increasingly on ever more active and wide intervention by the government. And it is a society growing under conditions of accelerating waste, planned obsolescence, and destruction, while the substratum of the population continues to live in poverty and misery.
Yeah, I was arrested before I came here for inciting a riot because I tried to kill a cop.
Did you have a rifle?
I always got my stuff with me.
I don't mind you advocating violence if you take the risk. The only risk you have is of becoming a martyr.
Wait, you make
I asked you, how did you stop it? Not what you advocated. Yeah, have you stopped it? That's the question. What have you done to stop it? Oh, you don't want to stop white violence, do you? You don't want to stop it, do you? Why don't you stop it? Because it's my survival I'm fighting for, white boy. That's what I'm fighting for. Have you been fighting for it? Have you stopped any of it? You are the descendants of the violent society. Have you stopped it? Have you stopped it? Have you stopped it?
I think it's the fact remains that neither the white boys nor Stokely Carmichael nor the Black Power have stopped the violence which continues today both in this hall and in Vietnam.
The reason it is going to be stopped is because when a white man comes with a gun, he's going to know the same thing can happen to him that he's going to do to the black man. He can die just like anybody else. That is the only way he's going to stop it. That is the only way you will stop it. And if we can't stop it that way, I will say, like your eminent prime minister, Winston Churchill, said, which he stole a poem from a black man, if we must die, we will nobly die fighting back.
But that, again, is not the whole story. There is, in the hippies, and especially in the in such tendencies of the hippies as the diggers and the provos, there is an inherent political element, and perhaps in the United States even larger than here. It is the appearance, indeed, of new instinctual needs and values. This experience is there. Also there is a new sensibility against efficient and insane reasonableness.
And then beginning to move in on authority with those weapons which have been called flower power. Flower power being euphemistic for a simple, calm, tranquil equilibrium, nonviolent, as far as possible, as far as the self can be controlled, so that it can relate to other selves in disguise, including the police.
With all of your flowers, with all of your marches, with all of your love, have you altered it?
It isn't love that's being sought here. It's not love that's being offered. What's being offered, in a sense, is, or proposed, I mean, is awareness of what your own feelings are and all the movements of your own mind.
Right. I'd like to introduce tonight's speakers to you. On my left, Ronald Lane, well-known psychoanalyst and writer. On my right, Stokely Carmichael, leader of Black Power, ex-chairman of SNCC. Next, Stokely is Allen Ginsberg, poet, who will open the meeting. On the extreme right is Emmett Grogan from a free autonomous group in San Francisco called the Diggers. I leave you to their mercy.
Propositions are difficult. I don't have a completed proposition. I've heard some. The best experience I have had has been with the younger people in America and some few of my own generation who have had to confront the mass hallucination or style of consciousness or mode of consciousness into which we were born and had some kind of mental breakthrough which clarified not only the nature of our own identity, which was also swept under by the mechanical society, but also the nature of others' identities as being the same as our own, that we are all one, and also the nature of the entire universe, perhaps, as what is very perplexingly a total illusion or Maya, that is not necessarily to preclude our taking detached action within the situation. The most detached action that I have seen taken within the situation is the use of LSD by the younger people for the purpose of demystifying their own consciousness and arriving at some sort of common meat universe where they are sitting with flowers, ourselves, and Mr. Carmichael, and thus being able to begin to relate as self to common self. Where this leads in terms of practical action, we have very small community groups in San Francisco, in New York, and in New York, beginning to leave the money wheel and also beginning to leave the hallucination wheel of the media, beginning to form small cooperatives, tribal units, societies of their own, beginning to share money or do without money, beginning to put on mass entertainment in the parks to raise the general awareness, not love power, but awareness power of their contemporaries, and then beginning to move in on authority with those weapons which have been called flower power. Flower power being euphemistic for a simple, calm, tranquil equilibrium, non-violent, as far as possible, as far as the self can be controlled so that it can relate to other selves in disguise, including the police. Carmichael, earlier in the week, made a proposition which I thought was possible, though I don't think he thought it was possible, that if the hippies in America were able to confront the police with flowers in Newark, then he would be concerned with that as a political tactic. I think that, for my own inspiration, for my own desire, is the one area where I do feel desire for practical action. The question was, if I were living in a situation where I had not enough to eat and not enough clothes and presumably were in jail, maybe, or I get the mercy of white power, would I be able to write my poetry? And I say, I have no idea, is my answer. The reason the hippies have taken on the beads, appurtenances, music of shamanistic groups of ecstatic trance state types is because they're beginning to explore for the first time the universal consciousness of other cultures beside their own.
Mr. Ginsberg, I don't know much about the hippie movement, but I would like to beg to differ with you. I think the reason most of the hippies do that is because they're confused little kids who run away from home and will return to their culture within a year or two.
There's no culture to return to.
Before I can find my individual self, I must find my group culture, obviously.
But we don't have a viable group culture, so we're in the same boat in that sense.
Not for me. I'm going to fight for me, in a broader sense, for other people.
We are surrounded by violence. The violence is falling on him, on the blacks. It's also, however, falling on all of us, in the sense that it has been for a long time falling on the whites also, in America, also in Russia.
That's things like this, going out in the street with masks. changing the way one dresses, changing the way one walks, challenging minute rules of etiquette, of conduct in all respects in public.
Internet radio for smarter than original.
AngryIndianRadio.com.